Yeah, this is the last chapter in the book of Acts, and we've been following the journey of the Apostle Paul. And it's been a challenging journey to follow, as we've learned how faithful God is, and as we've watched God work in the life of the Apostle Paul, not only in his life, but in the lives of all of those people that were affected by him. And I just praise the Lord for this journey that we've had together. And as we come to the conclusion of it, we know that this Paul, for a few years now, has been facing going to Rome and all that would entail there. And what I want to say tonight as we close this chapter out is this: God knows the future. God knows your future. God has things well in hand. How often have we been... is it getting kind of cool?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll close this door. It just got really hot when we were singing there.
Yes, I know. We're exercising
your voice. Yeah, that's just, you know, Heather and I being together and all, it kind of heats you up a bit too, you know.
I don't really belong here.
But as you think about your own future, there's always a question mark. What's going to be next? What's coming down the pipe in my life? What am I going to be facing here? But all to discover the faithfulness of God and that God has the future well in hand. Yeah. How often have you worried about something that has never happened?
Yes.
How often have you thought about, oh, this is the way it's going to go, and this is what the turns that are going to be in your life, and suddenly there's a whole new chapter, there's a whole new turn in your life. Yes. Where you are right now, you would never have predicted this is where you would be right now. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, wouldn't even have crossed your mind to be right where you are in the circumstances you're in right now. But it crossed the mind of God. It more than crossed his mind. He holds the future. And the Apostle Paul, as he was moving forward from, as we saw in our last studies, we saw the shipwreck that took place and all that surrounded that. And that's really where we are right now, where we were. We were leaving off from the Isle of Malta and moving forward. So I'm going to move ahead a little bit here to where after they had been on the Isle of Malta and he'd been honored in many ways. Now remember, the Apostle Paul, he was the prisoner, right? He was the guy that nobody should listen to. And at first nobody did listen to him. But in the end, it was Paul, through the work of the Spirit of God, that saved the lives of all of those souls on that ship. It was through the Apostle Paul that they were rescued. Everything that he said came to pass because he had the ear of God. Do you have the ear of God? Do you? Does he have your ear? That's a better question. Does God have your ear? Are you listening to the Lord? Are you daily saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done? But do we just leave it at that? Or do we say, now, Lord, I need your wisdom, your guidance, and your direction in my life? Because God is so willing to take us forward in our journey. He has a plan. He has a plan for tomorrow. He has a plan for the day after that. He has a plan for next year. He knows already what's coming. To have that wisdom to turn to God and to trust him with your future, to trust him with your circumstances, as sometimes things go absolutely south from what you're expecting, he still is in control. Remember how the Apostle Paul was warned by Agabus, the prophet, as he took his girdle and bound it up and said, this is what's going to happen to the man that wears this. This is what's going to happen to you if you go in the direction that you're going in. But the Apostle Paul was still determined to go forward because he knew that God had a plan in the midst of all of those circumstances. And so what do you think he's going to face? He's going to Rome. He's going to face as he appeals to Caesar, to the courts there, his circumstance. And yet at the time when he gets on that ship, as I said, the soldiers didn't have any, the centurion didn't think much of him, didn't listen to what he had to say. But by the time they came to the end of the journey, whatever Paul said, that's what happened. So much so that when they finally leave Malta, they were honored in many ways. And when they departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Why were they honored in such a way? Because the Apostle Paul was used by God to bring healing to that island, to bring blessing to that island, to cause grace to flow. No doubt the gospel, the opportunities that were given there in sharing the word of God and the truth about who Jesus Christ was, because everything that he did was in the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. And so, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, oh, by the way, I love the details. The details tell me this is not something made up. This is very detailed, so that they actually named what the ship was with the figurehead of the twin brothers on it, which had wintered at the island. And actually, those twin brothers were supposed to be two sea gods that they worshiped. That's what it was. That's what actually what it was. This Alexandrian ship. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. And from there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day, we came to Petulia, where we found brothers. And were invited to stay with them 7 days. So we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brothers heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Now, notice something here. We see Paul being what? He was encouraged. He was encouraged as he met other brethren believers. You might think the mighty Apostle Paul, you know, he was just carrying on. He was trusting God. He was believing in everything. But, you know, he needed the encouragement of the saints. He needed the blessing that came from others. And so do you, and so do I. I don't come here just because, God's called me to come here, and that's that. So I could just come here out of duty and out of rote and do what God's called me to do. But there's more to it than that. I never, never leave here without being encouraged. I'm encouraged when I see the saints of God here in this place. You bless my soul. I am encouraged. You might say, well, yeah, but no. You're the one that's encouraging us. And that might be true, but it goes both ways. When I see your faces, my heart lifts. Sometimes when I watch some of you coming through the door, I almost weep with joy. Just to see your faces and know that God has worked in your life and that God loves you and God has touched you. There's a great encouragement that comes from seeing the saints. Even though here's the Apostle Paul with all that he had. And no doubt there were believers, that people who had come to know the Lord. But Paul would have been encouraged. He would have been encouraged because there were new believers in these places. Because the gospel was being carried out in all these little towns and villages and all along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The gospel was going forward. Some of these people, Paul wouldn't have known them. It wouldn't have been because of what he had to say. It was because God worked and saved. And he had the opportunity of seeing the Lord was spreading this gospel throughout the earth. When he saw them, he thanked God and took courage. I said to some folks who stopped in at our church in Cheticamp in the summertime, we're starting to see quite a few tourists stopping in. They find my website looking for a church, and they find, the guy said, I was awfully surprised to see that there was a Christian church in Cheticamp. Two different folks said that to me today, one from Moncton and one from Montreal. Said, wow, said, we didn't think there was anything like this here. But the Lord has put us there. But I said, you know how encouraging it is to see you? When we see Christians, we treat them like gold.
Yes.
Because they're rare.
That's
right?
And
we're encouraged.
Yes.
Right? It's encouraging to see other believers, to hear them, to hear their story. One of the guys that was there is from Montreal, and his mother is actually from Cheticamp. And he said, God chased me for 30 years, and I got saved this past February. Now, isn't that encouraging to hear that? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to meet the saints and to see them and to bless the Lord. And so what did he do? He thanked God. And so do we when we meet one another on the journey of life. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But he did something different with Paul. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Paul was given special privileges. Why? Because God had a plan. Yes, Paul was arrested. Yes, Paul was heading for Rome. Yes, he didn't know exactly what was going to happen there, but he knew that God called him there to preach the gospel. And friends, listen, God knows what the future holds. Trust him with it. Walk with him through it. Go where he tells you to go, even if it looks difficult, even if it looks impossible, even if circumstances have come into your life that just say, I don't have a future, not like I thought I would have. My whole life has been turned around. Where do I go from here? God knows. God always knows. And I praise the Lord for that. To be able to have that confidence and have that assurance and to know that God knows the future. I had no clue that when my dear wife was passing away, that God had a plan beyond that. I couldn't see beyond that at the time. I didn't know. But I knew that God was in control. I knew that I had to release her into his care and to say, yes, Lord, you can take her home. But did I know what was coming? Did I know that I would fall in love with Heather and marry her? Not the foggiest. It wasn't on my radar. I argue with Marie, I'll never see it, have another love again in my life. But God knew. And God knows what the future holds for every one of us. And we can trust him with that future because he knows what's coming. Listen to some of these verses that we read, that we find in the Word of God. It says, you have decided the length of our days, Job 14:5. You know how many months we will live. Many, Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Even before a word is on my tongue, Psalm 139:4, Lord, you know it completely. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. Of course, we have that wonderful verse, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will do what? He will direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. Psalm 118:8 says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. That includes yourself. Trust in the Lord. Don't put your confidence anywhere else because God knows what he's doing. He has a plan. And as Paul goes forward here, it says in 28:17, it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. He was moving forward with the plan that God had given to him. What did he do? First, he shared the gospel with the Jews and then to the Greeks. And that's what he did. In every pattern, we find this all the way through his ministry, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. And so he did here. And so he calls the leaders of the Jews together. And so when they had come together, he said to them, men and brothers, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had done anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So what is Paul doing? He's going to keep doing that which God called him to do. What's God called you to do? Has he not called you to live for Jesus Christ? Has he not called you to put him first in your life above everything else? Is he first place in your heart tonight? Is he going to be first place when you rise up tomorrow morning? Can we choose to live this way and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, take me forward in the directions, whatever paths you have. And that whether things go south, when things seem to be absolutely contrary, just as the wind was, as we saw in the storms that Paul went through, that God is still faithful and that he knows the way home and he knows exactly what he's doing. And so by the providence of God, Paul lands exactly here sharing this very message to these Jewish folks about their need of Jesus Christ. And what does he do? And so they said to him, this was their answer, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brothers who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. It's spoken against everywhere. This religion, this faith that is being preached here, it's been spoken against everywhere. It should be no surprise, friends, that if you walk with Jesus Christ, it will be spoken against everywhere. It shouldn't be a surprise, especially when you live in pagan cultures, which we live in now.
Yes, amen.
It will be spoken against. To stand with the truth of the gospel, to stand for righteousness, to stand against sin will not be a popular move in our day, and it will become even more unpopular as time progresses. You will be spoken against everywhere, but it won't stop the gospel. It won't stop people from being saved. It won't stop people from turning to the Lord, even in the midst of whatever it is that happens in this world. People will still be saved.
Amen.
There are still going to be people saved in these communities around here. Do not lose heart. God will save. Seeds are planted. Prayers are being offered. There will be fruit. There's already fruit in this place, and there will be more. And that fruit is precious. How precious it is it? Think about your own soul. Think about the fact that you're saved. Where would you be? Where would you be? What hope would you have for yourself, for your family, if God had not stepped in with power and brought salvation to you? And he will bring it to others. We in due season, we will reap if we faint not. But let's keep on sharing the gospel. Let's keep on sowing seed. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not stop from well-doing, but to continue with this gospel. So then they appointed him a day, and many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. He persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Wouldn't it be something to be there from morning till evening? As the Apostle Paul went through the Old Testament and showed all of those prophetic verses about a Messiah and a Savior that would come, and showing how God had predicted and planned before the foundation of the world to send his Son to die on that cross for our sins and rise again. Oh, what a wonderful message this would have been. You think they were stopping to look at their watches? Maybe some were, didn't have any. From morning till evening. I wonder if we called a meeting and said, we're going to have a sermon, and the sermon's going to last from morning till evening, how many would come?
You count them on your one hand.
But they were there. They were there listening to this message. That doesn't mean they all believe. We'll find out that most of them didn't. But oh, friends, let me tell you, the Word of God is rich. There's much to mine from it, to learn from it, and to rejoice in it, and to see the plan of God. This plan that has its fruition at the very beginning, as that serpent's head would be crushed by that one, the seed of woman that would bruise his heel, right out of Genesis. And we have this wonderful Savior who's finally come. As the book of Galatians says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Yes, Lord, the Lord has plans. And those plans were not going to be thwarted. All through the history of the Jews, all through the history of the Old Testament, God had a plan that a Savior would come. The ups and the downs and the judgments and the tribulations and the trials and the faithlessness of Israel did not stop God from fulfilling his plan that a Savior would come and that he would go to that cross and die for our sins. The devil couldn't stop those plans. They were his plans. The providence of God will not be thwarted. And I praise the Lord for that, because what can that tell me about God right now? It says that God has plans for your life and God has plans for my life, and they'll not be thwarted. He will accomplish his purposes. It tells us that no matter what happens, that all things do work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. That in the midst of even tragedies, in the midst of hard circumstances, God has a plan. If he has this big a plan to bring salvation to the world, if in his magnitude of who he is, he can do all of this, do you think he can look after you? Do you think he can arrange tomorrow? I don't know about tomorrow. You know the hymn, it may bring me poverty. I don't know what's coming, but I do know this. I know who holds my hand. Do you know who holds your hand? all the confidence that we can have, the blessing that we can experience, the assurance that we can experience in the midst of troubles and trials to know God holds the future and He holds my hand. And so the Apostle Paul has this opportunity. He doesn't waste it. He shares the truths of God. Learn those truths, live in those truths, swim in those truths, get to know the truth of the gospel and be ready to share it with others, because that's God's call on your life. I can tell you that for sure. It's God's call on your life to live this gospel and to share this gospel from morning till evening. And praise the Lord, some were persuaded by the things which were spoken. Some were persuaded. Thank God. Some were persuaded. Some will be persuaded. It may take time. It may take circumstances. We don't know. We don't know what will happen. So often what we think is a blessing may not be a blessing at all. And what we think is a curse may not be a curse at all, because we don't see the end of all things. We don't understand the plans of God. We don't see how things are woven together, that God is weaving a tapestry that we barely see. Sometimes when you see somebody working on a project, working on artistry or whatever, at first it looks like it's just a bunch of scribbling and it doesn't seem to make any sense. But then a few strokes here and a few strokes there, and suddenly you have this incredible picture and you don't know how it ever got there. I watched Marie do paintings, and you know, at first I was kind of wondering, do you really know what you're doing here? But after a while I learned she knew exactly what she was doing. She would know what was coming because she had a plan in mind. She could see ahead what was coming, and everything was working in that kind of a direction. God sees ahead what's coming. He knows what's coming in your life. There are no surprises with Him. There's no all of a sudden, uh-oh, what am I going to do with this? He knows ahead of time. What a confidence that ought to give us. What assurance, what blessing in our souls in the midst of the big question marks that are over our life so often. There are no question marks over God's head. Not one. Oh, praise God. We find that in the life of the Apostle Paul, if we have not seen this, then we have been blind, that the hand of God was guiding him every step of his journey.
And he knew.
He knew. He knew that God was guiding him. So what it says, some were persuaded by the things which were spoken. Is it worth it to go those lengths? To go through all that the Apostle Paul went through, including that terrible shipwreck, was it worth it to hear some believing in Jesus Christ? Oh, friends, it's worth it. It's worth it to share the gospel. It's worth it to live the gospel. It's worth it to be praying for souls. We have no idea at the end of life's journey how many people will be in heaven because of a word spoken here or there, because of a prayer raised up that you've forgotten about a long time ago, but God has not forgotten one prayer that has ever been raised. We have no idea. When you get to the other side, you may be surprised to see hundreds, maybe thousands. We were talking about that on the way up, a song that says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving to the Lord," I think it was. How many thousands might be there because you prayed? Maybe you prayed for a preacher. And maybe he saw one person saved. And that person in turn saw thousands saved. We have no idea. We have no idea down the road what will happen. Susanna Wesley was the mother of Charles and John Wesley. A praying woman prayed for her children. They got saved. And they changed the world. But Susanna Wesley prayed. We have no idea. God knows what He's doing. Trust the Lord, friends. Walk with Him. Do what God calls you to do. And some will believe. Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken. And some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. And this was not an easy word for them to hear. But he quotes from the book of Isaiah. And he says, "The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." Now the Jews knew this verse. They knew, but they would never think it applied to them. Not us. We're the holy ones. Isn't it so difficult sometimes to reach the holy ones? It's really difficult to reach the ones that are full of religion. That's what they were. Full of religion. But they didn't see. Here, the very word of God was testifying against them. Oh, that it should have caused them to be humbled and to fall on their faces and cry out to God. But instead, here's what it says. Therefore, Paul says, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews had a great dispute among themselves. Departed. They had a great dispute among themselves. They didn't like it. Why? The Gentiles, they're going to get it, and we're not? Come on. We have so much blessing. We're the Jews. We're Abraham's children. No. We need to take heed to the word of God. We need to be willing to accept what God has to say. This was humbling for them. So the Gentiles are going to hear it. It's true. What are you? Did you hear it? Have you believed? Has the gospel gone out throughout the whole world? Yes, friends, the gospel's still going out. Gentiles are still being saved. They are hearing it. They are responding. You know, sometimes I've spoken with children, young people, brought up in a church hearing the gospel and far away from God. Oh, sometimes you can have so much privilege that your ears become dull and they don't hear what's really being said. Oh, I pray. But the Lord is gracious, is he not? And he brings them back. So here the Jews, some of them believed, some of them didn't. And Paul says, listen, this is the fulfillment of this gospel, of this prophecy from many years ago. You're fulfilling prophecy in not listening to the word of God. Now, of course, some of them did believe. You notice that there was a great dispute among themselves because some did believe. Praise God.
Yes.
Oh, I thank God for every soul. What's that? No question about it. This would have been the tumble effect, as one person believes and then they share with somebody else. So Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Now, I don't know what Paul thought about what was going to happen when he got to Rome, but he went there as a prisoner, didn't he? And yet, what is he doing? He has his own rented house, probably provided for by the government. And there he was. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, doing what his heart's passion and desire was, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no one forbidding him. It didn't work out the way some of them thought as they warned Paul, don't go to Rome, don't go to Rome, don't go down to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you, don't go in that direction, don't go there. Paul knew that he could trust his God, that God had a plan, and it was a good plan. So as we conclude the book of Acts, I want you to think about this, the life of this man who walked with God. Now, you know that Paul was eventually killed in Rome. He was beheaded, but it wasn't then. He actually was released and went on to write more letters, which we have in the Word of God, went on to walk with God and to minister in many other places. But this, the next time he landed in Rome, he did land into a dungeon and eventually lost his head. But this is where the book of Acts concludes, with this part of his life. We pick up threads of the rest of it as we read the epistles of the Apostle Paul. But know this, and hold on to this, friends. God has the future well in hand. Walk with the Lord. Walk with him through life's journey. Be obedient to him. Do whatever he says. And as you walk in obedience to him, his plans will unfold in your life. They will be the best plans. You'll be able to know for certain, as it says in Romans 8:28, that all things do work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. What's around the corner for you? I have no idea. Do you think you know? Guess again. You don't. You have no idea what the rest of your life has to hold for you. But I know this much. I know who's holding my hand. And I know that I can have every confidence in the Lord, that my future is in His hands, and it is for His glory, and that I can surrender every moment to Him. Oh yes, if anything, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. If there's anything in the book of Acts that you've seen this over and over again in the life of this man who walked with God. Let me encourage you to do the same. Life's too short to miss the real thing.
Yes, amen.
Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Make that your priority above everything else, and He will direct your paths. You can have a confidence in that. Father, we thank You tonight that as we conclude this book, we see the work of the Spirit. We see the life of Paul, but we see the work of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, it is the acts of the Holy Spirit that we see, we have seen through this book. We have seen the guidance of the Spirit of God. We have seen the power of the Spirit in miracles. We have seen, Lord, the assurance that the Holy Spirit knows the future. We have seen, Lord, those who have walked in surrender to the Spirit's control. And we have seen the results of it, and they are good. Oh, Lord, may we take these lessons to our own hearts. May we live in the Spirit. May we pray in the Spirit. May we walk in the Spirit. We have all of the promises of God to cling to. May we not grieve the Spirit of God. May we, Lord, be filled, surrendered, controlled by the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we might be, Lord, of the greatest effect for the kingdom of God in the years, in the minutes, in the hours that we have left in this world. Oh Lord, we cry out to You. Create that desire in our hearts. Fan that flame, Lord, that we will have passion and desire for You, that it will not wane as years go by, but that, Lord, we will continue on sharing, living, and walking with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank You, Lord, for the lessons learned, and we praise You that You are calling to each one of us to go further in and higher up with God. We give You the praise and the glory tonight in Jesus' name.